शिरा वदगोचा सर्तकिरी वनाश्रमादिश्वानुपत्थम अवान्निचरा पस्सदाहि परिभूयमानो मक्षिकाभिर इव वन गजस्थर्जना ताधना वामेहना स्तीवनाग्राव सक्रेत सक्रेत रजा प्रशेक प्रक्षेप पुतिबाता दुरूपतास्ताद अभिगनायान निवासात संस्थान इथास्मिन् देहोपलक्षणे सद अपदेशा उभयानुभवस्वरूपेण स्व महिमा वष्टानेना समारोपिताहम् ममाभिमानत्वात् अभिखण्डता मना पृथिवीं मे कच्छता परिबभ्राम तत्र तत्र here and there, pura, cities, grama, villages, akara, mines, keta, agricultural places, vata, gardens, korvata, villages and valleys, Shibira, military encampments, Braja, cowpens, Gosha, residential places of coward men, Sarta, resting places for pilgrims, Giri, hills, Vana, forests, Ashrama, in the residential places of hermits. Adishu, and so on. Anupatam, as he passed through. Avanichara apasadahai, by undesirable elements, wicked persons. Paribhuyamanaha, being surrounded. Makshikabhihi, by flies. Iva, like. Vanagajaha, an elephant coming from the forest. Tarjana, by threats. Tadana, beating. Ave mehana, passing urine on the body. Stevana, spitting on the body. Grava sakrit, stones and stool. Rajaha, dust. Prakshepa, throwing. Puttivata, passing air over the body. Duruktahai, and by bad words. Tat, that. Viganayan, without caring about. Eva, thus. Asat songstane. Habitat not fit. Habitat not fit for a gentleman.
It has
men
in this.
Deha upalakshane. In the shape of the material body. Sat apadeshe. Called real. Upaya anubhavas rupena. By understanding the proper situation of the body and the soul. Swamahima, in his personal glory. Vastanena. By being situated. Asamharupita aham mama abhimanatvat. From not accepting the misconception of I and mine. Avikandita manaha. Undisturbed in mind. Vitivim. All over the world. Ekacharaha. Alone. Pariba Brahma. He wandered. Translation. Rishabhadeva began to tour through cities, villages, mines, countrysides, valleys, gardens, military camps, cow pens, the homes of coward men, transient hotels, hills, forests, and hermitages. Wherever he traveled, all bad elements surrounded him, just as flies surround the body of an elephant coming from a forest. He was always being threatened, beaten, urinated upon, and spat upon. Sometimes people threw stones, stool, and dust at him. And sometimes people passed foul air before him. Thus people called him many bad names and gave him a great deal of trouble. But he did not care about this, for he understood that the body is simply meant for such an end. He was situated on the spiritual platform, and being in his spiritual glory, he did not care for all these material insults. In other words, he completely understood that matter and spirit are separate, and that he had no bodily conception. Thus, without being angry at anyone, he walked through the whole world alone. So you can repeat. Vrishabhadeva began to tour through cities, villages, mines, countrysides, valleys, gardens, military camps. Cow pens, the homes of coward men, transient hotels. Hills, forests, and hermitages. Wherever he traveled, all bad elements surrounded him. Just as flies surround the body of an elephant, coming from a forest. He was always being threatened. Beaten, urinated upon, and spat upon. Sometimes people threw stone, stool, and dust at him. And sometimes people passed foul air before him. Thus people called him many bad names. Gave him a great deal of trouble. But he did not care about this. For he understood that the body is simply meant for such an end. He was situated on the spiritual platform. And being in his spiritual glory, he did not care for all these material insults. In other words, he completely understood that matter and spirit are separate. And he had no bodily conception. Thus, without being angry at anyone, he walked through the whole world alone. Narottamadas Thakur says, you don't have to repeat the purport. Sorry, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We went through the purport and repeated it. We wouldn't have time for class. So, Narottamadas Thakur says, Deya smriti nahi yar, samsara vandana kahan tar. When a person fully realizes that the material body and world are temporary, he is not concerned with pain and pleasures of the body. As Sri Krishna advises in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, text 14, Matra sparshista konteha sitoshna sukadu gataha agama pain onitas tongs to tikshasva marita. O son of Kunti, The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O sign of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. As far as Rishabhadeva is concerned, it has already been explained, Idam Shiriram, Amama Duravi Bhavyam. He did not at all possess a material body, and therefore he was tolerant of all the troubles offered to him by the bad elements in society. Consequently, he could tolerate people's throwing stool and dust upon him and beating him. His body was transcendental and consequently did not at all suffer pain. He was always situated in his spiritual bliss. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 61, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshi arjuna tishtati pramayan sarvabhutani yantrarudani mayaha. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Since the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, he is in the heart of hogs and dogs also. If hogs and dogs in their material bodies live in filthy places, one should not think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature also lives in a filthy place. Although Lord Rishabhadeva was maltreated by the bad elements of the world, he was not at all affected. Therefore it is stated here, Sva Mahima Avastane Na. He was situated in his own glory. He was never saddened due to being insulted in the many ways described above. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shad Ananjana Shlakaya Chakshudam Meditam Gena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. This is very interesting. It says here in the verse, let's see, where he understood that the body is simply meant for such an end. Now, this is a very interesting or important realization that we should have. Like Prabhupada commented, he said he was talking about different religions, how they deal with bodies at the time of death. And, you know, because I've been thinking about that because we're dealing with a devotee that may pass away or will pass away in a little while. So Prabhupada said that the Parsis, and this is the most shocking to me, so the Parsis take the body. Indira Gandhi, in fact, is a Parsi. They take the body and they throw it from a tower. You know, they go up to some sort of tower that they have, especially for funerals or something like that. Throw it from a tower on the ground, and then it smashes on the ground, and then they let the vultures eat it. I was thinking, you know, not my body, you're not going to do that with. If this is attachment we have our body. And then Prabhupada said, well, and then if they bury the body, then the body becomes a worm stool. and if they burn the body like we do generally in the Vedic culture, you know, there's cremation, then it becomes ashes. So if you think about the destination of this thing that you're really decorating, you ladies who like to decorate your bodies. We were talking yesterday about to someone who's looking for a wife, and I said, you should get a wife who's interested in decorating the deities rather than decorating her body. I was advising the gentleman. Because instead of, you may have to get her some new saris, but better you get someone who's interested in decorating the deities. Anyway, so I was thinking about this with this body that we're so attached to. Decoration, you know, and you know, especially now we're dealing with people who are leaving their bodies. I sort of take it home on my, you know, in a personal way, in the sense that, you know, it's going to happen with me. It reminds me of that, and then I just look at this thing in the mirror, you know, this thing. It's interesting. I say not me, but I look at this thing in the mirror, and I think that mirror on the wall. Who's the most handsome sannyasi of them all. I mean, I used to do that when I was 22 years old, but now we just look at this and say, wow. Like we're talking about taking ashes to India, for example. And I'm thinking, you know, they put it in a Tyvek envelope. That's how you carry it. You know what a Tyvek envelope is? Something you would work in that. Anyway, It's like an envelope with plastic on the inside. You know, very. What it is, like the brown envelope. It's a brown envelope or a white envelope. The type of envelopes are white. And it's, you know, very thin. About this thin. It can get a little thicker when you put stuff in it. And it's lined on the inside with plastic or with some impervious material. So obviously things can't get out. And then it has a seal, and the only way you can open up the seal is like you pull this little thing that... Anyway, you understand what I mean. It opens up. So I was thinking the whole body fits in there. I was thinking like that, you know, because I'm probably going to have to take someone's ashes to India. And I was thinking, it just could fit in your coat pocket. And then I just like, and that's me too. And this thing that I'm taking so much trouble to take care of, and that, you know, pampering this thing and feeding this thing every day. You know, it's interesting, you think about it, trying to satisfy this thing. And then even before we leave the body, how will it pay me back? You know, you served a master. I mean, I'm sure you've all heard this example before. But you serve a master for many, many years, and then as soon as you can't work anymore, they just kick you out. Can you imagine that? Like let's say you were serving in this temple for your whole life, and then you go and say, oh, my dear temple president, you know, I can't do any service anymore. I'm just... I said, all right, go back to your mothers. I wouldn't do that. But I've seen that happen before. Isn't it? It happened, you know, go back, you know, we can't take care of you, whatever. So, this body does the same thing to you. Not go back to your mothers. That would be worse. Anyway, especially with my mother. So, the body does the same thing. You serve it for something, you feed it, you spend so much time cooking for it. It's amazing. I mean, how much time do we spend shopping for it? Either shopping for clothes or shopping for boga. You know, we have a nice health food store here, so we spend time and we meet all the devotees in the health food store. We're shopping for boga for ourselves. Or is it we engage disciples in shopping for boga? Oh, I would like to taste this tonight. Please, you know, so much trouble. Please get me some. And then just like the other day, I had someone get me some, I'm not going to explain what it was, but something that you have to expose to sunlight so it'll give me more vitamin D. And I said, so put it in the greenhouse with Tulsi so it can be exposed. I'll tell you, not in class, what it was. You expose it to sunlight and you get vitamin D. And so taking so much endeavor and trouble to take care of this thing. And then you have a scale to measure whether it's too heavy. You know, this morning, you know, usually in the morning after I take my bath, I get on a scale to see if it's too heavy or too light. I mean, it's just amazing. And then, so I'm not realizing that the body is really meant for the end that Lord Rishabhadev understood here. So that's the first point. So, I mean, it's easy to talk about those things, but it really won't make you detached from the body. I mean, I can talk all day long, and still you're going to try to decorate the body. It's not going to, you know, the ladies are going to still want their earrings and nose rings and all that other stuff, and the men are going to want. Men have their own thing. Whatever ways that men decorate their bodies or take care of their bodies or show off their false ego or whatever. However, how do you become detached? Oh, actually, before I talk about that, you know, practical means of how you become detached. I'll explain why one should become detached from the body. Because really, one should be attached to Dharma, to doing one's duty. And of course, one's duty is also to care for the body, because the body belongs to Krishna, but not so much care for the body that you're like the princess and the pea, where you just pile up your futons. You know, you have 100 futons or 100 mattresses, and you just can't stand that one pea is below all the mattresses. I mean, sometimes we do that. We just like accept too much facility for our bodies. But we have to take care of them because it belongs to Krishna. So in any case, I'm going to give an example how Dharma is really important. And I'm not speaking precisely about Varnashram Dharma, but we all have a Dharma. Of course, Jivera Svarup Hoy Nitya Prishnasa, I mean, that's the ultimate Dharma. But we also have Dharma within the Vedic culture. So I'm going to tell a very interesting story that illustrates how someone tolerated a very difficult situation and got, I mean, a good result. I guess it's even a materially good result, but pleased Krishna at the same time. So once upon a time, there was this king, and his name was Sarayati. And Sarayati was out with his men, his forces, you know, touring the kingdom, just making sure everything was all right. Because that's the king's duty. It's not simply to sit in the palace and play video games all day long, but to go out at the front of his army and actually help the citizens. So anyway, so they came to this ashram of Chayavana Muni. And Chayavana Muni was a great sage. And the sages, they generally executed special austerities, like we see Rishabhadev executing austerities, so that their senses wouldn't be agitated. I mean, that's really important. That if you eat too much, sleep too much, or engage too much in sense gratification, it agitates your senses. That's another reason for keeping everything to a minimum. Like we hear, Achaharas Paryasas Chapa Chapadi Mahara. I mean, the causes of fall down in devotional service, eating too much and collecting too much and all these things. So anyway, one should minimize Mityahara Viharasya. So anyway, so he was engaging in austerities. One austerity he had, he was meditating under the earth. Don't try that at home. But he was meditating on the earth. You know, there's a little breathing hole there. Once in a while, he would look up to see how things were going above the earth. You know, look up. So Sarayati came to his hermitage. And Sarayati also was traveling with some members of his family, particularly his daughter, Sukanya. Mm-hmm. So Sukanya happened to be a nice young girl, I mean, extremely attractive, as the case may be. And because this sage, Chayavana, kept looking out of the hole, one day, you know, he was looking at, and he saw Sukanya there. I guess you get a wide-angle vision from a hole. Isn't it, you know, it's like a wide-angle lens on a camera, or a fisheye lens on a camera, those of you know about photography. And so he looked up and he said, wow. And he couldn't keep his eyes off of her. He was attractive. That's natural. And Sukanya, she was a small girl, and she was playing, and she saw the eye, but, you know, the eye kept looking at her. A little frightening. So, and she just was playful. She poked the eye with a little piece of grass. And as a result, because of an offense against this great sage, all the king's horses and all the king's men became constipated. And because they became constipated, anyway, you may think that's nothing, but anyway, it's very difficult, because that means hemorrhoids and everything like that they had. And anyone who's had hemorrhoids knows that you can't sit on your horse anymore and ride it. You know, you just have to go, ah. You know, the body is so painful. You know, it's really interesting. Any little thing in the body is just going to cause you immense pain. Right now, you know, I'm thinking I'm not experiencing any, like, extreme pain. So I'm thinking, oh, not me. Any little thing. Little thing, I mean, sometimes you eat something, you get stuck between the teeth and it causes pain, isn't it? And then just all night long, you're like, ah. A throbbing pain, or even loud sound. When you get older, loud sounds cause you pain. So, someone plays the cartels too loud, or even incense. When you're young, it's different, unless you actually have some disease. So, anyway, so the king's horses and the king's men. And the king himself were just like experiencing these hemorrhoids. And then as a result, the king understood he had there was some offense committed, and then he asked around what had happened, and he found out his daughter had actually done this to Chaivana Muni. And Chaivana Muni was approached by the king, and the king said, you know, what can we do to rectify this offense? Because if you offended someone, you should approach the person you offend. And Chaivana Muni didn't say anything, but he kept looking at Sukanya. It was interesting that instead of saying, you know, well, I'd like to marry your daughter, he kept looking. You know, I don't know how they look. You know, he was talking to the king. Let's say, there was the king. Let's say Damodar Priya is the king. But instead of looking at the king, king, I don't know what I need. Like that. So he kept looking at it. So the king understood, you know, here's, you can marry my daughter. And then Chaivana Muni basically said, I thought you would never ask. And there was a marriage, and as a result, the hemorrhoids went away on the soldiers. And they got married. But the problem was for Sukanya, was that Chaivana Muni was pretty old, and he was cranky. You know, that's like, of course, Prabhupada was never subjected to, you know, material changes in the body or anything like that. But Prabhupada even jokingly said to the devotees when he was chastising them, he said, you know, I'm old, and therefore, you know, chastising, I forget the word. He probably didn't use the word cranky, like a temper or something like that. So please excuse me because I'm getting older. And it happens sometimes that, you know, people who get older are a little bit more cranky. So, but he was extremely cranky and extremely demanding. And there was this young girl. She was just, you know, maybe she was 16 or something like that. And he was like, I don't know the exact age, like, you know, 70-something. Talk about, what is it called? December-June marriage. So, and, so, but she tolerated and she cooked and she rolled her chapatis, or rotis, or whatever. This is not a class that I'm advocating, you know, the chauvinism or anything like that. That's not the point. I'm just talking about Dharma. You know, because she understood. Now, I'm not saying that every wife should just, like, roll chapatis. Although Prabhupada did say, on the other hand, that the main duty of the household is just to, you know, what is it? If anyone's hungry, let them come eat. You know, to enter. I was explaining this also to someone yesterday who was looking for a wife. And I said, you've got to find someone who really loves to cook. And I was explaining that in Fiji, that they love to cook so much that each dinner is like 80 preparations, 80 or 90 preparations. And the ladies just like love to stay in the kitchen. I'm not saying that you ladies should love to stay in the kitchen of a Domino for you. But that's not my point. But it's just like, that's, you know, that's part of preaching that makes a society. Prabhupada wanted that sort of thing, inviting people. The essence is inviting people. So if the wife doesn't cook, the husband at least should cook. At least that's to be someone who likes to stay in the kitchen. At least one of the two people. Because it's kitchen religion, isn't it? You know, so that the essential point is that there has to be inviting guests over, you know, with nice hospitality, smiles as you're feeding them, happiness as you're feeding people. You know, I've seen that in Fiji because the culture is there with many of the devotees. They're just so happy to feed you. It's not just, not, why is he eating so much? Next time we'll make him pay for his food. So it's not, it's too expensive. You know, why did he want that olive oil and the avocados? So, so anyway, so she did cook like that. She tolerated. And then as a result, that's the reason this story is told. Not, you know, not as a plea for chauvinism. As a result, later on, when the Ashwini Kumaras visited her husband wanted to reciprocate with his wife. And his wife, you know, she didn't ask for anything. But he thought, you know, she's doing so much service. Just like if we tolerate and do service for Krishna, then Krishna will be, like, overwhelmed. He'll want to reciprocate with us. Yayatamam prapajantetam satayva vajamiham. So Therefore, when the Ashwini Kumaras visited Chaivana Muni, Chaivana Muni said, well, to please my wife, I want to, you know, be a young man that's not so cranky anymore. And the Ashwini Kumaras said, okay, we can do that. But we want something in return. You know, it's business. You don't get something for nothing. Just like yesterday, Gopal sent me some like link on the internet to buy some MP3 player. It was only $9.99. So I had to get it, and I said it was just a piece of junk. Anyway, so you don't get something for nothing. So he, Ashwini Kumar said, all right, but as let's make a deal. Well, let's make a deal. And the deal is that we should be able to drink the Soma Ras. Because the Ashwini Kumaras, even though they hung out with the demigods, they still didn't have the opportunity to drink the Soma Ras, which is like the heavenly version of nectar drink, or I'm not going to say whiskey or anything like that. It's not so degraded. But it's a heavenly intoxication. It's like Varuni beverage, something like that. And so Chaivana Muni said, okay, let's make a deal. We'll have a deal. And so they made a deal, and they all walked into this lake, which I guess is what Ponce de Leon was looking for, right? The fountain of youth. He's looking in Florida for it, but in Florida all they have is old people. Old people and then immigrants, a lot of immigrants. So they entered this fountain of youth. And they all came out looking like beautiful young men, you know, really handsome, as they say in Spanish, guapo. They were really guapo, you know. That's why when I was in Latin America, I would say, use that word a lot. I'd say, Krishna's really guapo. So Shukanya couldn't distinguish which was her husband because obviously he had changed his body. And Shukanya took shelter of the Ashwini Kumaras, and the Ashwini Kumaras said, you know, this is your husband, and she was very happy. And that was a result of her austerities and tolerance and her dedication to dharma, or duties. And then, of course, later on, her father came by and thought that she had renounced her husband and just taken up with some, like, low-class young man. And her father said, you know, why are you taking up with this low-class young man? And she proudly said, no, this is my husband. And she's proud of her dharma, too. And then, so that's a very nice story. And then also the Ashwini Kumaras got their Soma Ras. Indradip wasn't so appreciative of it, and he tried to hurt Chaivana Muni. And Chaivana Muni sort of paralyzed Indra's hand as he was getting ready to throw the thunderbolt at Chaivana Muni. So that story is in the Bhagavatam. It's an interesting story. So the point of the whole story is that, you know, we stick with the duty and we tolerate things. This is the whole point of this purport. We tolerate things in order to please Krishna. So what do we have to tolerate? And it's not only insults from other people. That, of course, is very difficult, as I mentioned before. Like when people insult you or people attack you who previously, you know, you loved or they love you or whatever it is, it's more painful than having a knife put into your heart. I mean, that's really painful. Mm. And not only do you have to tolerate it, you have to maintain a nice attitude towards them, too. In other words, you have to pray for them, like Jesus Christ did, isn't it? Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. Wow. Or Haridas Thakur. As I mentioned the other day, Lord Chaitanya was getting ready to kill all those Muslims who were attacking Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur stopped Lord Chaitanya by his compassion. Because Haridas Thakur was so compassionate, he actually practically froze the Lord's hand as the Lord was getting ready to send his Sudarshan Chakra to kill the Muslims. It's interesting how a devotee is more merciful than the Lord himself. So Haridas Thakur tolerated, and he had so much compassion, he caused the Lord to forget or to stop his attempt to kill the Muslims. So that's really the type of compassion we have with people when they attack us. When people attack us, that's a test to see if we actually want to be compassionate. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, The two qualities that are most important in devotional service are Nama Ruchi and Jiva Doi. That's how you can judge your advancement in devotional service. Of course, detachment, but detachment comes naturally as a result of Nama Ruchi. You understand? Nama Ruchi, Jiva Doi. Jiva Doi means compassion for jivas, and Nama Ruchi means a taste for the holy name. So we should focus. This is really what we want to achieve, those two things. If you focus on these two things, you know, as goals, of course that's part and parcel of love of Krishna, but these are symptoms of love of Krishna, then you can actually tolerate so many things. And not only tolerate other people's abuse, but tolerate the body, the abuse that your own body gives you. Isn't that? And that's pretty hard too, isn't it? And tolerate the abuse your mind gives you. So we're continually getting abused or you know, literally, by these different factors, especially as we get older. And then we just focus on, you know, Nama Ruchi, Jiva Doi. And if we absorb it in the holy name, I mean, people ask me, they say, I'm all disturbed and they think that. I said, why don't you just take a day and just chant japa all day long? You know, you don't know how much better you feel or be absorbed in Krishna Katha or something like that. Anyway, so these are our goals. Nama Ruchi, Jiva Doi. Remember that. Put it on your wall of your house. Nama Ruchi, Jiva Doi. Compassion for jiva souls. Unlimited compassion, even if they attack you or don't like you or mean to you or cut you off as you're driving your car. Go Paul. So, if he's listening. So, and Nama Ruchi. Nice, isn't it? Just think of those. It's such a positive way to look at things. Then toleration naturally develops what we think of those. Okay. On that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you.